Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Shabba Baja, and today we have a great episode for you guys. Today, John over from Clutch Talk, he jumped on the podcast with us, and we just went over what's been going on in the season so far. Most teams, they've only played about two or three games, so it's a short sample. But, you know, me and John, we do go over what's been going on. We talk about the Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving dilemmas. We go over DeAndre Ayton's contract extension. We go over Lakers and Russell Westbrook. And then we also close it out with, you know, just going over, you know, what teams we should look out for so far. And, you know, we talk a little bit about, you know, what teams we think are contenders and what teams we think are dangerous teams in the playoffs. And then we have sleepers and stuff like that. So this is a great episode, guys. It was so fun to work with John. I always love working with Clutch Talk. They are so fun. And we always have a good time. And so, yeah. And also, guys, please, you know, go over, check out Clutch Talk. They're on every platform, just like Big Shot Pod. They're on Apple Podcasts. They are on Spotify. You know, they're on all those good platforms, excuse me. And they're even on YouTube. You know, they post videos and, you know, they post, you know, most of their episodes on YouTube as well. So they are a great follow. You know, they always have fun with it on the podcast. They go over great stuff. So please go ahead and follow our friends from Clutch Talk. Today is Monday. I'm posting this Monday night. So unfortunately, we do not go over and we do not include any of the games that happened today, Monday. But anything before Monday, we did talk about. You know, like I said, we went over, you know, Ben Simmons, Kyrie, all that good stuff. So guys, please give this episode a listen. Go over to our friends Clutch Talk on all platforms. Give them a follow. Listen to their podcast. They have great content. And so here is my discussion that I had with John from Clutch Talk. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to let you guys listen to this. Like I said, it was a great podcast. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right. So here we are with John from Clutch Talk. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Very happy to be here, man. It's long overdue. I love working with you, man. I love working with the Big Shot Pod. So just happy to be here and ready to talk about some NBA basketball.
Yeah, man. Me too. It's always a pleasure. So let's just jump right into it. So first off, we got to talk about, you know, one of the things that's been the main stories all season long, or off season long, Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia situation. Now, Ben, last time we talked about him, he showed up to practice, but he was kicked out. Apparently, he was giving no effort during practice. He even had his phone, some reports say, in his pocket. So, you know, they just kicked him out and said, you know, we don't want you around if you're not going to put in the effort. Also, I mean, pretty much Ben Simmons, pretty much he just showed up, you know, because he wanted to get paid, right? You know, he didn't want any more fines. He knows that he's going to be losing money. So he just showed up for that reason. But, you know, if he doesn't put in the effort, obviously they're going to kick him out. Ben Simmons also put out a statement that he's not mentally okay right now to play. I don't think that, you know, it's that, you know, I think it's just an excuse, really, because now it's coming out that that he's having back problems and stuff like that. I just think it's just excuses, you know. And Daryl Morey also said on a podcast, he said to buckle in, this drama may last, quote, 4 years to resolve. And so what do you think about the whole Ben Simmons situation, John?
All right, let's get into this, man, because I have a lot to say about Ben Simmons. And I'm just honestly frustrated. So he's extremely frustrated with Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. But let's talk about Ben first. Okay, first of all, bro, let's realize that we're talking about the NBA. This is the cream of the crop. This is the top tier. We're not talking about high school practice, college practice, junior college. No, we're talking about top of the tier. And Doc Rivers is having to ask people to leave practice because of effort? Are you serious? That pisses me off so much. Ben Simmons lives the dream, has a dream job that thousands of people would live and die for. And he is going to practice on his phone. On his phone, not giving effort, so much to the point where Doc Rivers feels that he has to say, he has to tell his second best player on the team to just go home. Imagine how bad the effort really has to be for you as a head coach, tell your second best player on the team, just go home, man, because you're doing more bad than you're doing good at this point. That has to be absolutely negative and a negative energy and the energy that's probably pulling away from other players on the team. But let's talk about the actual issue, because I've thought to myself, I'm like, man, like, why is Ben Simmons so much in his feelings? What did Philly do? Nothing. Philly literally did nothing besides ask him to play basketball. Philly did nothing besides ask him to make a jumper that if you're in the NBA, you should at least be able to, you know what? I'm not expecting everyone to be Stephen Curry. That's fine. Stephen Curry is a rare occurrence. That's just him. But you can't sit there and be scared to shoot. You got to at least keep the defense guessing, dog. You got to at least keep the defense guessing. And Philadelphia, I mean, we know Philly fans are diehard, you know, whether you're rocking with them or whether you're not, like, man, they're going to feel how they feel no matter what. And I think Ben Simmons is just too insecure, too much in his feelings, and just can't take it. But what can he not take? What is Philly doing besides asking him to play basketball? You know what I'm saying? So so that just pisses me off, dog, that Ben Simmons is turning his back on Philly when Philly never turned his back on him, just asked him to simply make plays, simply do what a point guard in today's NBA basketball is supposed to do. And he's getting in his feelings. Now, I get it. I get the thing about Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers came out and said, I don't know if Ben Simmons could be a starting point guard on the championship team. Doc Rivers should not have said that in public, but it's a fact. He can't. You know what I'm saying? I agree. Doc Rivers should not have came out and said that because you want to back your player, but it's a fact. He cannot. Maybe he could be a four. Maybe he could be a three, but not a one. Not a one in today's league that can't shoot, man. So, Saba, man, I'm just pissed off of Ben Simmons. So tired of the situation. It pisses me off the fact that he's taking a job, like a dream job like the NBA, for granted, not showing up. And he's holding out like he's James Harden or something. He's not that good. Don't get me wrong. Ben Simmons is really good on defense, a great versatile defender. But when you're on the half court offense, when you're in playoffs, he's practically unplayable. So honestly, I don't know if he has that much pull to where he's like, I can just go wherever I want. So Ben Simmons needs to be careful before he's out of a job, because in my opinion, he's cut the bridges with all the 76ers players. He's cut the bridges with all 76ers organization. And in my opinion, if I'm any other GM, I am not taking him, because I see how toxic he can be if he doesn't get what he wants. Sorry about that being so long-winded, but that's how I feel about Ben.
No, I completely agree. And okay, first off, let me play the neutral guy here. Doc Rivers did come out after the playoffs and he did say, after for a whole year, the whole year that he was with him, he said, we can win with Ben Simmons as our point guard. Then they come and ask him, can you win with Ben Simmons as your point guard after they got eliminated? And Doc Rivers just said, I don't know. And then Joel Embiid also, you know, called out Ben Simmons after that game where he had that wide open dunk pretty much, and he passed it off to Matisse Thybulle instead of just going up. I mean, it was a crucial part of the game. Joel Embiid pretty much said that was the turning point. That's why we lost. With that said, Doc Rivers defended Ben Simmons all year long, like I said. I mean, so I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Joel Embiid, listen, if that was Kobe, do you think Kobe would be, you know, kissing Ben Simmons' ass and
would have tore his ass apart?
Thank you. So, I mean, really, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, why is he playing so, you know, he's playing the victim here when, I mean, come on, just shoot. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, really, at least dunk the damn ball, you know? So, I mean, I don't really get that. You're getting paid millions of dollars. I mean, these guys, there's guys out here working hard and, you know, doing everything they can, and they can't even get into the G League. But, I mean, this guy, you know, he's getting everything handed to him. Also, there's been reports, I mean, from the scouting reports on Ben Simmons, I mean, the scouting report said that, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, you kind of need to kiss his butt a little bit, you know, he's kind of a diva. So, you know, that's another thing. So, I mean, Ben Simmons, he just needs to suck it up. He needs to play. Look, if Ben Simmons doesn't want to be in Philly, the best thing he can do is play for Philly, play for like 2 weeks or so, show the league that, hey, he's in good shape. You know, this is what he can do. You know, maybe even try and score a little bit. You know, show the team, show the league what you're worth. You know, help Philly help you get you out of there, because right now they're not getting pretty much, I mean, they're not getting any good offers right now. I mean, Daryl Morey's also asking for like a whole lot of stuff. I mean, apparently he's asking for like 3 first round picks, 3 swaps, a couple, you know, key pieces. So, I mean, that is a lot when we're talking about Ben Simmons, but I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, because I go back and forth a lot of times, you know, with friends when we're talking about this Ben Simmons situation, and I genuinely don't see a place for him. Like, I genuinely don't see an NBA GM saying, okay, I will give up something of value, because, okay, like, I know the narrative is going around that Ben Simmons isn't great, and he's not great on offense, but at the end of the day, he's a great defensive player, absolute 1-5 great defensive player, right? So the Sixers, like how Daryl Morey said, they're not going to give up cents on a dollar for him. They want someone that's going to keep them at that number one seed. I mean, let's before this Ben Simmons situation happened, just last year, they were the number one seed. They were the number one seed in the East, rocking it, right? So Daryl Morey wants to get back there. He's in win now mode. With a Joel Embiid right now, he's not in trust the process again. No, he wants to win now. And he understands that if he gets cents on a dollar for Ben Simmons, he's not going to be back at that number one seed. So I absolutely agree with Daryl Morey. You got to do what's best for you. You have to do what's best for your team. But Shaba, I look around the league and I say, what NBA GM in their right mind will say, here, I will give you something of value for Ben Simmons back. And I know in my head, Ben Simmons cannot play in the playoffs. So unless you're just trying to win the regular season, hooray, good job. Cool. You want to be an 82-0 season? Great. You want to be like that Warriors team that had that great record and then lost in the playoffs? It doesn't count. If you don't, unless you're winning rings, unless you're winning the playoffs, it don't count for nothing. So that's why I get to the point, Shaba, where I'm like, dog, like, is anybody going to take Ben Simmons? Because you have to give up something of value. And in that something of value, you have to know in your right mind, is he going to show up in the playoffs? And I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, he showed us. He doesn't show up. I mean, the dude won't even go up for a dunk. He won't shoot an 8-foot. I mean, at least develop a floater. You know, everyone is developing a floater. You can't develop a floater. He doesn't even have that. So, I mean, he's pretty much the only times he scores is in transition, right? So, I mean, develop a floater, you know, just at least a little 8-10 footer, you know, something, you know. He doesn't shoot free throws. And when he does, he shoots like 30%. I mean, it's awful. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I can't blame Doc Rivers. I can't blame Joel Embiid. I mean, and look, Joel Embiid, we know this guy's injury prone. How long do the Sixers have with Joel Embiid? I mean, in his prime, right? So, I mean, they really need to get as much as they can out of Ben Simmons. So they're not going to give Ben Simmons up for, you know, a couple mediocre pro players and a first round pick that's not going to work out for them, you know? So, I mean, they need to get the most that they can. But like I said, Ben Simmons, if he wants to get out of Philly, the best he can do is play. You know, go out there, show your value to the league, show teams that are, you know, kind of on the fence about you, show them, oh, he looks good. You know, he's in shape. He's even developed a little, I don't know, 5-foot shot at least. I mean, just show them, you know, because if you're just on the bench, I mean, not even on the bench. I mean, if you're just sitting at home, you know, expecting to get traded, and I mean, Daryl Morey, he's not going to trade you for nothing. So, I mean, like I said, just go out there, show your value. Show the league that you're worth trading for, because if you're just sitting at home, no one's going to trade anything. And I mean, then you hear in the media, you know, that, you know, they should trade CJ McCollum or, you know, Damian Lillard in some occasion, which I think is crazy. But I mean, why would Portland offer any of that up for Ben Simmons?
That's exactly what I say. Like, don't get me wrong, dog. Like, if they somehow find a way, if Daryl Morey somehow find a way to get Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid on the same team, I have the Sixers winning the championship for the next 10 years. You know what I'm saying? With whoever's around them. If you got Dame and Joel, those pick and rolls are just going to be insanely scary. And just with shooters around them like Tobias and other players, I have the Sixers winning every single year. But I, you know, people keep talking about it, but then I keep saying, why in the world would the Blazers do that? Like, why would the Blazers give away Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? So I laugh at that too. So people talk about that, I laugh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think Ben Simmons needs to suck it up. He needs to go out there and play. You know, the best thing, and I mean, in the media, they keep saying, why should he go out there and play? Why should he help Philadelphia get wins? You're not helping Philadelphia. You're helping yourself. You know, if you want to go out there, I mean, if you want to get out of Philly, like I said, just help Philly help you get out of there. You know, just help show your value so that they can get some good offers and trade you. Because trust me, Philadelphia doesn't want to be in this position either. Yeah. So, and also remember, Ben Simmons is the process. I mean, he's the reason they went through the process. You know, they did get Joel Embiid, but they were still in the process when they had Joel. And then finally they got Ben Simmons. And then once they got Ben and Joel Embiid, that's when they started, you know, actually trying to play. So, I mean, why? I mean, Philadelphia gave up what? Four years of just awful basketball. I mean, they just didn't win at all on purpose, obviously. So 3-4 years, I mean, they're not going to trade 3 or 4 years just so that Ben Simmons can be happy. So, yeah, I mean, Ben Simmons, he just needs to, you know, suck it up, go out there and play so that you can get the hell out of Philly, because if not, you're going to be there for a while. Like Daryl Morey said, this could last up to 4 years, because also remember, other teams, I mean, GMs and owners especially, they're looking at Philadelphia right now. They don't want Philly to cave in, because this is a principle thing. You know, if Philly caves in and they give Ben Simmons what they want, you know, the other teams are in trouble. I mean, Ben Simmons has 4 years left on his contract, 4 years. So he literally has no leverage. But, you know, if they let Ben Simmons win, then every other team is kind of screwed in the sense that, you know, well, we don't have any leverage with any player, you know, even if we have him on 4 years. So, I mean, this is a big thing for Philly. This is a big thing for the league. So, I mean, I think this might take a while. Do you think that Ben Simmons is going to be on Philadelphia still this year?
Never again. In my opinion, I will never see Ben Simmons in a Philadelphia Sixers uniform, because of both parties, because Ben Simmons doesn't want to be there, and because the Sixers also don't want him there. The only way, realistically, I'm telling you right now, that I could see it happening is Ben Simmons comes back on some bullshit again, like, oh, I don't want to lose my money. Like, you know what I'm saying? He comes back on something like that again. And the Sixers are like, okay, well, clearly all other 29 teams in the NBA haven't offered me anything. Let's take Ben in for a little bit. Let's try to work his trade value and let's go from there. And that's honestly what I think might end up happening, because, like, I don't know if you've seen that last 76ers game. Joel Embiid was talking on the mic a little bit. He said, like, oh, we still got love for our brother Ben Simmons. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the organization telling Joel Embiid, hey, you know, like, tell the fans a little bit, like, lighten the fans up. Let's try to bring Ben back. Because now, what I think that they're going to do is if he comes back, it's because Ben Simmons doesn't want to lose all that money, and the Sixers don't want to just get cents on a dollar for Ben Simmons. So they're going to be like, all right, let's act like we're good. Let's act like we squashed it. Come back. Let's get your trade value good, and let's get you out of here, man, because Philly is not a place for Ben anymore. And Ben is not a place for Philly anymore.
Yep. And do you think that Ben is still going to be on the Philly roster by the end of this season? Or do you think he's going to be traded? No, not playing for Philly, but will he still be on Philly?
I think he'll still be on Philly. I think he'll still be on Philly. I think that if anything, it's going to get to the All-Star break. All-Star break, people are going to start maybe nudging around a bit, but it's just tough, because I'm telling you right now, Shaba, man, I'm looking at all other 29 NBA teams and I don't see one that makes sense. I see the Wolves, the Timberwolves. I see the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves is cool, but I don't see one.
But the Wolves don't want to. The Wolves don't want to give up D'Angelo Russell. They don't want to give up Anthony Edwards. They don't want to give up Kat. Exactly. So what are they doing?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I could see the fit. Like, if you ran Ben Simmons at the four, I think the Timberwolves would be so nice, right? Because I don't know why Philly just put this thing in his head that he's a point guard. The nigga's not a point guard, bro. Like, he can handle the ball, but that doesn't mean he's a point guard. Doesn't mean he's the one bringing the ball up and down the court every single time. Like, I don't know why Philly put that in his head. Like, he's a 6'9" guard that can handle. okay, just put him at the four. Have him have throw these insane passes out the post like Jokic, right? He doesn't have to be the one, right? But yep. So I look around the league, Chop, and I don't see any other team that fits him or is willing to give away something of value to bring him back. Like, I honestly, I know this sounds crazy because he's an extremely talented player. Like, I have genuine doubts in my mind that he's in the NBA in like a couple of years. And I know it's crazy. I know it's crazy, but I don't know, man. I gotta see Ben do something different because right now it's trouble.
Yep. Okay, so that's enough for Ben Simmons. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Ben Simmons, really. So let's go ahead and talk about Kyrie. So Kyrie is still not with the Nets. The Nets said that they don't want him to participate unless he's fully vaccinated. He did go on IG Live and he said that he is the voice for the voiceless, saying that, you know, he's standing up for all these people that, you know, have lost their jobs during the pandemic because they decided not to get vaccinated. And now the Nets are taking calls from other teams for trades for Kyrie. They're not making calls, but, you know, they're at least listening. So what do you think is going on with Kyrie? What's your opinion on Kyrie? What should the Nets do? You know, what's going on with that in your head?
So first of all, with Kyrie, you know, I used to be like, oh, you know what, man, like, you know, he's standing up for the youth, you know, he's doing good. And I used to think that, right? Because Kyrie always comes out like, but the funny thing is, he's always comes out and says like, oh, it's for this, it's for that, it's for this, it's for that. But do you notice that he always says that after he gets in trouble, right? Remember when Kyrie left last year and didn't say nothing to anybody and not even his teammates? And then people were wondering where he was. And then a video of this dude Diddy bopping in the club came out. And then he comes out 2 days later and says, I needed a mental break. I like just too much going on. And hey, I'm all for mental breaks. I'm all for taking care of yourself mentally. I know that the George Floyd stuff was going on at the time, man, RIP George Floyd. That was definitely a tragic situation. And I applaud Kyrie for trying to shine light into that. You know, I applaud Kyrie for everything he does off the court. He paid off George Floyd's mom's house, man. He does a lot of great things. But what you can't do is you can't make a mistake and then blame these other things, right? Like last year he blamed, oh, I need a mental health break. Okay, cool. I work a job. I freaking would love a mental health break whenever I want. Yeah. Doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't work that way. If I tell my boss, like, hey, if I didn't show up for a week and then tell my boss, like, hey, I took a mental health break, you know, it's like, it wouldn't be okay. You know? And so I don't expect that it'll be okay with Kyrie, but that was about last year. Right. Let's talk about this year. This whole anti-vax or however you want to call it. Right. I heard his IG live where he's talking about, no, I'm standing up for the voiceless. And again, you know, I think that's cool, but I don't know if he's really doing that. I think he's just taking the opportunity to step in and just say something that makes him look like the hero, right? But I think at the end of the day, I think it's just Kyrie's stubbornness. I don't think he wants to take that shot. I don't think he wants to be controlled, because the NBA, the world is low-key getting a bit controlling about this vax stuff. It's like, oh, unless you have this and that, and you can't go in here and you can't go in there, you can't go in this. And I don't think that Kyrie likes to be put in a headlock like that. I don't think that Kyrie likes to be told when he's got a test, when he's got to take this, when he's got to take that. And I think it's a genuine something that he doesn't want to do, and he just saw this voice for the voiceless. I think he just took that as an opportunity and ran with it. But I want to say this, because Shaq brought this up, man, and I never looked at it this way, right? So to win a championship, you have to sacrifice everyone on the team, from the top to the bottom. You have to sacrifice from the coach to the worst player on the team. You got to sacrifice something, whether it's playing time, whether it's your ego, whether it's whatever it is. Kyrie needs to sacrifice his pride and get this damn shot. Because look at this, dog. Like, James Harden and Kevin Durant, two great players. They can do it on their own. But they had an agreement with Kyrie to go to Nets and do this together. Let's run it. I'm 1,000%. I could put my life on the line that they didn't just be like, oh shit, Kyrie signed. Oh shit, James signed. Oh shit, Kevin. Like they all talked about this and they were like, man, we could win. James, you could do this. KD, you could do that. Kai, you could do this. And now Kyrie just isn't playing because of what? A vaccine that really is his pride, in my opinion. And he won't let his pride down, you know what I'm saying, to ball with his brothers to win a championship. To me, that is insanely selfish, dog. Like, the team is asking him to sacrifice, put your pride down, get the vax so you could be here with us, so you could compete, so we could win a championship, like how we talked about. And he's choosing, no, I would rather be the voice for the voiceless. Dog, you're getting paid millions of dollars to win championships with Kevin Durant. Do it. You know what I'm saying, dog? Do it. If you want to be a freaking social activist, go do it. Go be a social activist. But then you're not going to get all that money that you got. You're not getting all that money that you got, man. So honestly, Kyrie is another guy that really pisses me off, because it's just like, man, like, just, you are so selfish and not freaking appreciative of the fact that you're in the top tier NBA getting paid millions of dollars and you're playing with Kevin freaking Durant.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The league today is filled with, you know, pretty selfish guys and drama queens, and you wouldn't see this, you know, 15 years ago. But okay, I'm a little torn on the Kyrie thing, I'm not going to lie. Before this, I always said Kyrie, man, he's annoying. he's selfish. He always, you know, he's always doing whatever he wants. Like you said, you know, he's taking time off, you know, stuff like that. I don't want to get political here, all right? But in a sense, I mean, is he, okay, taking the vaccine thing, I can understand what he's doing in a way. You know, he's obviously, you know, a minority, he's an African-American. You know, most of the people unvaxxed are, you know, minorities. And I will give them this, you know, I mean, you look, they're asking these people to trust the government, you know, doing this vaccine thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm not getting political here, you know, but the vaccine, you know, it's pretty much a government thing, blah, blah, blah. They're putting all these mandates, stuff like that. I can understand why, you know, some people are distrustful. I mean, you look at stuff like, you know, the Tuskegee experiment, stuff like that. So I get why. I mean, I don't know if you know what that is, you know, but, you know, like where they were saying that they were giving these people vaccines, but it was instead they were giving them syphilis and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not getting, you know, political, because that's a whole lot of stuff going on. But I can understand that, you know, I can understand why some people would be hesitant and, you know, doing this and all that. So I get that, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, Kyrie is getting paid, you know, I believe he's getting paid $35 million this year. So, you know, I get that, you know, he needs to play, you know. Now I do think that, you know, there should be some things, you know, okay, if you don't want to get vaccinated, maybe you should get tested, you know, before you come in every day, stuff like that. You know, I can see alternatives to that. But at the end of the day, this is also a city mandate. This isn't just, you know, Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets. So yeah, I'm torn on Kyrie. You know, he has always been selfish. He has always done whatever he wants. He's always been hard-headed. But, you know, this is kind of a big deal, you know, and I understand why he wouldn't want to do it. And then when people are saying, you know, well, you should think about the team. This is kind of a bigger deal than the team. When you look at the overall, you know, picture of it all. But at the end of the day, you know, Kyrie is getting paid $30-something million this year. You know, he should play. So yeah, I mean, he should, at the end of the day, he should get vaccinated. He should, you know, just give in. But like I said, at the same time, I do understand why he wouldn't want to do it. You know, I know a lot of people that haven't gotten vaccinated. I know a lot of people that have gotten vaccinated. And, you know, this is like one of the most controversial topics, you know, not just in the NBA, but, you know, going on in the country. So, you know, this is, especially when you got a guy like Kyrie, You know, this is always going to be controversial, but yeah, I mean, so what can the Nets do here? I think that they should sit down, talk to Kyrie, and they need to say, listen, you don't want to get vaccinated. We can move you to a team where, you know, you don't, they don't have mandates. You know, you could come to Texas, to Houston, to San Antonio, to Dallas, which I don't know how I, what I think about that. But, you know, they can work with him, but from the sound of it, you know, they're not working with him at all. So, and not just Kyrie, they need to sit down with Durant, Harden, they need to sit down with the whole team, and they need to, you know, get everyone's, you know, opinion. But yeah, I mean, this whole thing where, you know, they're not talking to each other and stuff like that, this is just, it's stupid, and it's not the way to run a team. It's not a way to be professional for Kyrie. I know he doesn't want to take the vaccine, but he needs to, you know, he needs to be, he needs to communicate with this team and let them know, you know, what he's willing to do, what he's not willing to do, what he's willing to compromise on, stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's really, it's all about communication between the two.
Yeah, man, I, honestly, that was a perfect way to put it. And I just want to put this out there. Like, I have no problem with people who don't want to get vaxxed. Like, I know multiple people who still don't have the vaccine, and I have no problem with that. My problem was with Kyrie Irving purposely not getting the vaccine, and his job is to play in the NBA, and now this is something that came up. This is a roadblock you have to go through to be in the NBA, and his job was to commit to Kevin Durant and James Harden and do this together with the Nets, and now he's broken his commitment, and that's my problem. That, like, that's where I have the issue with. But just want to put that on record, man. For anybody that's out there not getting vaxxed, that's 100% up to you. But as far as the trading, man, you know, I think that both sides are just handling this extremely childish. You know, both sides are handling this extremely childish, and both sides are handling it wrong, right? Because the Nets need to talk to Kyrie. They need to have Kyrie in the loop, because he's that type of player where you want to trade him, you want to deal with him, you want to tread lightly with him. I feel like that's the best way to say, you want to tread lightly. So you want to be like, hey, Kyrie, like, you know, the Hornets called, like, and this is just like throwing it out there, like, the Hornets called, how does this sound, you know, how would you like living in Charlotte, you know, just kind of like talking about that and working it with them. Because honestly, like, I know this sounds crazy, but like, if Kyrie gets traded somewhere and the Nets don't talk to him really about it, and he doesn't want to go, I have zero doubt in my mind Kyrie just doesn't go. Like, Kyrie just doesn't go and brings up another one of these little excuses, right? Just doesn't go because he doesn't want to. So I think that both Kyrie and the Nets, for their own good, so Kyrie can end up somewhere he wants and the Nets could get something back that they want for Kyrie. And I mean, let's be real, you're going to get cents on the dollar, because you're not going to get, right? You're like, let's be real, you're going to get cents on the dollar. So that's very unfortunate for the Nets. But I guess, you know, let's cut our losses to, let's put a stop loss on it. You know, let's not lose too much, right? So I think that the Nets, so that they can get what's best for them, and that Kyrie can go somewhere where that's desirable for him, they need to be in contact, they need to be talking, and they need to just figure out like what's best, because it's not Kyrie being in the Nets uniform. And very unfortunate to KD, very unfortunate to James Harden, and honestly, like, Kevin Durant is a great scorer, but after he went to the Warriors, it pissed me off for life. And just like, how could you go to a team like that? Like, you're already one of the greatest players. So like, I'll forever have like, not hatred for Kevin Durant, but like just a little bit knock, right? And I still feel bad for the man, because I know him, James, and Kyrie were sat down before going to Brooklyn, and they were hella excited, and they were like, man, we're gonna make this work, and we're gonna win so many championships, this and that. And I mean, if in my opinion, they would be the Bucks last year if either James or Kyrie was 100% healthy. So man, like, they're right there, and now without Kyrie Irving, you're not right there. You're still good. You're still going to probably go to the championship, but you don't have, it's not as clear cut as a win, man. So I honestly feel bad about James. I honestly feel a little bad to James and Kevin, because they're just, in a way, got played. You know, they went there, thought it was going to be something, turned out to be something totally else, because James and Kevin Durant, also African-American, also minorities, they got the vaccine. I think that Kyrie needs to step it up and get the vaccine.
Very well said. Yep. I couldn't have said it better myself. So yeah, I mean, like I said, this this generation of players, they're so childish. I feel like you wouldn't have seen this 15 years ago. I mean, so, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. And also remember, this is affecting the team. I mean, you know, they're 1-2 right now. So we'll see what happens there. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say about Kyrie? And okay. All right. So next, let's go ahead and talk about your Lakers. They started off bad, 0-2. I mean, bad to the point that they were fighting on the bench and stuff like that. They did win last night. They beat the Grizzlies 121-118. You know, so they're 1-2 now. Since it is your team, I'll go ahead and, you know, what are your thoughts on the Lakers right now? You know, the whole thing with Russell, is it working? Do you like the way it looks? What's going on there?
So my biggest concern with the Lakers is this number one thing that I said in the offseason. That's just going to be continuity, right? And that's just going to be them getting it together and them figuring it out. Since Russell Westbrook's getting to the Lakers, I said, wow, the Lakers might have a very bad offseason, but it's going to be nearly impossible to beat the Lakers in the 7-game series. In my opinion, it's going to be nearly impossible to beat the Lakers in the 7-game series after they've had 82 games to mesh. Right? Right now, it looks bad. It looks so bad right now. You don't know who's the point guard. Is it LeBron? Is it Russell Westbrook? There's times where LeBron's bringing the ball down court, right? There's times he's running pick and rolls. There's times Westbrook is just bulldozing down court and turning the ball over. The shooting is absolutely abysmal right now. Just terrible. We're not knocking down free throws. We already were not a good free throw shooting team last year. You add Russell Westbrook, you add DeAndre Jordan. And honestly, I just want to put this out there and say this. Why in the world is DeAndre Jordan starting? Why in the world is DeAndre Jordan out there? He's such a defensive liability. He's such a mismatch almost every single time on the court. Why in the fudge is Malik Monk not starting over Kent Bazemore? I don't know why Kent Bazemore is out there starting. I don't know if you just watched that Grizzlies and Lakers game last night. He almost cost us the game by fouling their best player on the last shot at the 3-point line. That's just not fully there, man. But to talk about the Lakers, man, I just think that the biggest thing is that they need continuity, man. They need time to put it together and figure out who is that guy, right? I think on every team, you need to know who is that guy. And for us fans, we know that for the Lakers to be the best version of themselves, who needs to be that guy? Anthony Davis. He needs to be that guy holding down the anchor, holding down the defensive anchor, holding down on offense. But the problem is he doesn't bring it every night. Like, that's the problem. He doesn't bring it every night. Like, you know, we got in the opening night, I know the Lakers lost to the Warriors, but AD had a crazy good game. It had like 34 points, a double-double, and just was out there balling, man, you know. But the next game, we didn't see him bring it. The following game, we didn't see him bring it. And that's the problem, man. AD can't consistently bring that. LeBron is getting up there in age. I'm still not worried about LeBron. Still, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time and greatest leader of all time. And I think that he's going to figure this out. But, Shaba, just to answer your question, my biggest concerns right now is floor spacing, figuring out where to fit Russell Westbrook in this, and especially where to fit Russell Westbrook when you're not running a fast break, when you're running a half court, which is what the playoffs is. It's half court offense. When you're running a half court offense, I'm having a real hard time seeing the Lakers be able to deal with that floor spacing, figure out where to fit Westbrook. And then also I need LeBron or somebody on this Lakers team to sit down with Westbrook and say, hey, if you have an open shot, it's for a reason. They're leaving you open for a reason, dog. Stop taking those little mid ranges that you try to go off glass from the elbow. Stop. They don't go in, Russell. And it's just a very low percentage, man. So for me, Shaba, biggest thing, floor spacing, where to fit Russell Westbrook and this continuity. But to put that all in a nice little bow, I still have the Lakers winning championship, not because I'm a Lakers fan, no, but because in the 7-game series, this very vet-heavy team, I would have a hard time seeing another team in the NBA beat them 4 times in a row.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do want to touch on something that you said about AD, his consistency. That's why I have never been a big fan of Anthony Davis. Obviously, when he's giving it his all, he's incredible. He's top five in the whole NBA, maybe even better. But he just doesn't give it all night long. And also, another thing that I really hate that I always hear, AD doesn't want to play the five. You know, he wants to be at the four. Bro, you're getting paid $30 million, almost $40 million a year, and you don't want to play at the five? Come on. Like, that blows my mind. I hate hearing that about Anthony Davis. He doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play center. He wants to be a power forward. Just play wherever they put you. I mean, last night against the Grizzlies, they played him at the five for a little bit, and he looked good. He looked way better there than at the four. I mean, that's his position, but he just doesn't want to do it. Another thing is Russell Westbrook, if you watch him play off the ball, he's not good. I mean, he's not good. I mean, if you look at Steph Curry play off the ball, he's going in and out. You know, he's weaving in and out of players. He's on this side of the court, then he's on that side, and then 1 second later, he's over here again. You know, he is so good at getting open, and, you know, he even sets screens and stuff like that. I mean, but then you look at Russ, and he looks so lost when he doesn't have the ball, because his whole career, he has had the ball. I mean, even with KD, I mean, which is one of the things that blew my mind when KD was on the Thunder. You know, the fact that he let Russell be the guy, because Russell was the guy on, you know, KD was obviously the best player, and he was obviously the guy who should take the last shot at the end. But Russ was the guy on the Thunder, you know, because he was just, you know, kind of like the alpha, you know, he refused to not have a ball. You know, he was the guy, you know. But yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook, I mean, they need to figure out what to do with him, because one of the things that concerned me about him joining the Lakers was the fact that, you know, look at, he's been Mr. Triple-Double for the past 4 years. You know, let's not lie, Russell loves getting his stats, right? How is he going to get those stats when LeBron is holding the ball, when he's carrying the ball, when he's the point guard, when Anthony Davis is getting the rebounds and stuff like that, you know? So that's one of the things that concerned me the most, was the fact that Russell Westbrook can't be full-on Russell Westbrook when he's on the floor with LeBron and AD. So something that people have been bringing up is the fact that maybe Russ should be moved to the bench. Now, that would be great if you're the Lakers. Not great if you're Russell Westbrook. I don't think Russell Westbrook would take that at all. I don't think he would come off the bench. Do you think that the Lakers should at least have a talk with Russ and say, hey, you should come off the bench? Or do you think that they just need to figure out how to be a cohesive unit with him on the starting lineup with everyone else?
So I actually think that exactly. So when we first got Russell Westbrook, I actually thought that what the Lakers were going to do is the Lakers were going to, I know it's going to sound crazy, run LeBron off the bench because he's 37, because to give him more of the regular season to rest. I mean, we saw last year, he had that ankle injury in the mid-season, and it just absolutely derailed him in the real Lakers for the rest of the season. And the Lakers understand that they need LeBron to win what matters. They need LeBron to win what matters. And when we first got Russell Westbrook, I thought what the Lakers were going to do was they were going to let Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis be the two-man show during the season, run up and down the court, do this, do that, do this all, and then around, you know, when the playoffs start coming around, you continue in LeBron. Of course, I'm not saying LeBron is not playing this whole time, but getting less minutes, and then you, when the playoffs starts rolling around, you start to integrate Bron a little bit more, because we all know that when LeBron is the point guard, the Lakers are at their prime. The Lakers are at their top. We saw in that 2020 bubble run, man, like with the Bron and AD running those high pick and rolls, almost impossible to stop them. But as time goes on, I'm realizing that that's just not going to be possible. It's just not going to be possible for us to run a Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook lineup because of the inconsistency of both. If there's inconsistency of one, maybe it could work, but both just are way too inconsistent on an everyday basis, and LeBron is way too consistent to keep him to keep him in the bench, man. You know, and I don't want the Lakers to drop too down low in this regular season. And I've been stated on the record saying this. I don't think the Lakers are a regular season team. This is a very vet heavy team, not built to be an 82 game season team. Like I said, a championship favorite is built to be a playoff team, built to be a 7-game series team, and built to be a locked in on one team type thing, man. But you mentioned bringing Russell Westbrook off the bench, and I actually think that you know, as time goes on and a season starts, and I realize, okay, we can't have LeBron coming off the bench. I actually think that that's not the worst idea. I think that's actually a great idea. You know, allow LeBron to be prime LeBron at the start of the game. You know, run these pick and rolls with AD, get his teammates in the game. I know that's what LeBron likes to do, because LeBron knows he can get going at any time. So what he likes to do, he likes to get his teammates going in the beginning. And what better way to do that than have LeBron run in year one? You know, have him run a couple of pick and rolls, have him run throw a couple of lobs, hit a couple of shooters in the wing. And then, you know, when LeBron needs a break, when LeBron's been out there, for five to 10 minutes, you get Russell Westbrook coming in, boom, boost board off the string, coming off, running, coming down court. I think that'll work. Not only would that help with the floor spacing, not only would that help with the Lakers getting a roll going, but that also would help just the Lakers as a team, man, to like be able to be a better regular season team so that LeBron can be ready for the playoffs. But like how you said, Shaba, I don't think Russell Westbrook is going for that. But the thing is, we have this one guy on our team who is the ultimate sacrificer. And when he sacrifices, it makes it kind of hard for anybody else on the team to not sacrifice. That man is named LeBron James. LeBron James always sacrificed something to win a championship. I'm not saying LeBron's like sacrificing like 10 points per game or something like that. No, whether it's on the court thing, whether it's a contract, whether it's how many times he's bringing the ball up court, whether it's if he's doing what he's doing, LeBron James is always sacrificing for the greater good of the team because he wants to win a championship and he's okay with sacrificing. And this is the question I ask myself. If you're on a team and LeBron James, in my opinion, the best player of all time in anybody's list, at least top five, in my opinion, greatest player of all time. But anyway, okay, that's a different topic, right? So in anybody's at least top five, when you have LeBron James on your team sacrificing, who in the fudge are you to not sacrifice, right? Like if you're Russell, I don't care who you are. You're not LeBron. I don't care if you're Russell Westbrook, I don't care if you're AD, I don't care if you're a two-way player, I don't care what you are. How are you going to sit there and say, LeBron, I know you're a top five greatest player of all time and you're sacrificing, but I'm not going to sacrifice. Okay. Yeah. In my mind, it just does not work. It just will not work. So like, while I agree that I think Russell Westbrook is going to be hard headed to go off the bench, I think that if the Lakers and LeBron decide like, man, this is actually what's better, and I freaking hope that they decide that, man, I think that it's going to be hard to get Russell Westbrook on the bench. But once LeBron sits there and says, blood, like, you think you're more than me? You want me to sacrifice and you don't sacrifice? That's not going to happen. So I have a real good feeling that I hope that the Lakers realize that they need to bring Russ off the bench. If they do, I have a real good feeling that it will happen because LeBron is going to be there, you know, the ultimate sacrificing. If the head of the snake does something, the body will follow.
Yeah, I agree. But listen, the one positive thing that I said about Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers as soon as I found out was the fact that, you know, he can help LeBron and he can help AD throughout the regular season get rest. They can sit LeBron and AD, you know, 15 games the season, maybe more if they need it. Because Russell Westbrook, you know, he's going to come full blast and he's, you know, he doesn't take the pedal off the metal. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it for the Lakers. So a couple of just last things that I want to talk about. One of them was DeAndre Ayton and the Suns contract. He still doesn't have a contract extension. The Suns just gave Mikal Bridges 4 years, $90 million. So if the Suns offer Ayton a max deal, because that's what Ayton's looking for, reportedly they've offered Ayton 4 years around 125, 130. Ayton said no way, he wants the whole 5-year max, but the Suns just don't want to give it to him. Now, if the Suns offer it to him, they will be in the luxury tax. And one thing that we know about Suns ownership is that they're kind of cheap. do you think that the Suns will give him the extension? I think that they will, but I think they're going to move some stuff around because I don't think that they want to be in that luxury tax. So do you think that Ayton will still be on the team sometime, you know, maybe even up until next season? Or what do you see happening here with the Suns?
Man, I hope the Suns slap themselves and realize what they got in their hands and offer him the max, dog. Like, for real, you know what I'm saying? He just went out there and proved it. While I get it that the West was extremely depleted and injured last year, and the Suns had a very, very, very blessed run and didn't have to face a lot of great players, DeAndre Ayton still proved himself out there, man. DeAndre Ayton was still showing that he's one of the most versatile bigs out there in the league, man. He still was out there, doing his thing against Anthony Davis, doing his thing against Jokic, the MVP, you know what I'm saying? The MVP. So I think everyone realizes besides the Suns organization, they need to realize what they got in their hands and the mistake that they could make by just simply not offering him the contract. I know that, like, honestly, to be real with you, when it was that day that all the 2018 draft picks were, you know, getting their rookie extensions, re-ing up, I was seeing I don't think Colin Sexton got it. I seen a bunch of other players get it, and then DeAndre Ayton not get it. And I have to think to myself, like, man, if I'm DeAndre Ayton, I'm thinking like, damn, I just went farther than all these dudes last year. I just performed on the biggest stage of them all. I just performed against Anthony Davis. I just performed against Jokic. I just performed against these top tier Western Conference bigs. I was out there scrapping with the Bucks. And I don't get an extension, and I don't get it. And he was doing a good job, and he doesn't get an extension. Man, I honestly hope that the Suns can write him an apology letter and put a couple of extra hundreds in that letter and give him the max and say, I'm sorry we didn't give you the max on the first day that it was available, because that's embarrassing. And if the Suns lose him, they're gonna feel that. Who else is going to run that? Darius Sarge, who just tore his ACL last year.
Come on, they got JaVale McGee.
Come on, I love me some JaVale, but he's not cutting it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just stupid by the Suns. They finally have a good team, you know, after so long, a whole decade pretty much of, you know, just being the worst team in the league. You know, they finally have it. They finally got to the finals. I personally don't think that they'll get back to the finals this season. I don't even think that they'll get back to the finals within the next 3 years. I think that they're going to look back at last season and be like, man, that's the one that got away. But still, I mean, Ayton, like you said, he went up against AD. He went up against Jokic. He might have not stopped Giannis, but we got to remember, he was the only body out there for the Suns. They had no other centers. You know, it was just Ayton. So he was out there pretty much almost 48 minutes a game in the finals. So, you know, he sacrificed his body for the Suns. And so, yeah. And then looking at Bridges getting an extension, you know, they offered, you know, Shamit, you know, money, you know, all these guys got all their money. And then Ayton didn't get it. I mean, also Chris Paul, he said, you know, he's going to get his bag this offseason, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he didn't get anything. So I don't know. And then you offer Chris Paul like a 4-year extension, this old guy who's injury prone. He's great, but he's injury prone and he's old. But you don't offer it to Ayton. I mean, I don't know. It's stupid, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Suns will always be the Suns. So who knows? Okay, so just last thing I want to touch on is, you know, some teams to watch. I mean, as my contenders, I have obviously the Bucks. I have the Nets, even though they're struggling. I have the Lakers, even though they're struggling a little bit right now. I got the Heat. I got maybe the Warriors, if they can, you know, stay afloat and all that. And then I got the Utah Jazz. You got anyone else in that contender spot?
In that contender spot? In that contender spot, I definitely have the Lakers. I definitely have the Nets. I definitely have the Bucks. I really do want to say Warriors, bro. I really do. But the thing is, it just totally depends on Wiseman. You know, when Klay's going to come back, Klay's going to be Klay. He's just extremely a plug and play player. But Wiseman, he's such an X factor. He's such an important role for this Warriors team, because when you look around the league, all dominant teams right now, like the Bucks, the Suns, the Lakers, not really the Nets, but that Nets are just no team is Kevin Durant, James Harden, actually. But every other team in the league that's dominant, what do they have? They have an extremely dominant front court. They have a dominant front court player, and the Warriors just simply don't. I really like Bielitsa, but Bielitsa will get ate up by any of those guys that I just mentioned, like ate up. And Wiseman will get ate up too, but Wiseman will also do his thing on the other end, I've been watching Wiseman as he's been coming up, and I've been saying this, I've been quoted on the record tons of times on the pod saying this. Wiseman is going to be, he can be the next big thing, the next AD, the next versatile big who can bring it out to the mid-range, to the little step back shoot, but also get to the hoop, pick and roll big through lob threats. I think he could be scary. He could be all about that, but we have to see his development. So that's why I'm so hesitant on calling the Warriors, a championship roster. But boy, is that boy Wardell looking crazy out there. Curry is looking ridiculous out there. If he keep playing like that, I mean, who knows? But I also, for the East, man, I also want to add, I also have the Heat too, when we did the predictions in the preseason, for the Eastern Conference episode, for all I actually had the Heat in the top three seed in this next upcoming year in the East. And my co-host and our guest that we had on at the time was like, "What? You're crazy. I'm like, "Dog, no, man. Like, the Heat are an extremely complete team this year. The Heat are an extremely complete team. They know what it takes to get back there. They got the dogs. They added even more dogs. Everything that they were missing last year, everything that they were like, man, the Heat need to get better on, they improved this offseason and more. So,
and Tyler Hero has been looking real good. Yes. He has been looking good. So if he can be that guy from the bubble, or even better, the Heat, they're unstoppable to me.
Agree. I absolutely agree. I just want to throw out another team. I don't think that they're going to make championship. I don't think that they're even going to make it extremely far, but it's just happy to see them finally doing good again. And that's because I'm a Lakers fan, but the Chicago Bulls, man. I'm so happy to see the Bulls doing good again. And I'll tell you this, man, the Grizzlies used to be like my on the low, like my favorite team. You know what I'm saying? The Grizzlies, because I like Ja a lot. I like Jaren. I like that whole team, especially Brandon Clark and them. But nah, man, the Bulls have took it over. Man, the Bulls are so good, and they are so, so complete, man. We're talking about a defensive-minded point guard who knows how to push the pace. Zach LaVine, a three-level scorer. He can really score anywhere on the court, and he's extremely lethal from deep. Vucevic, man, a unicorn who can run a pick and roll and spot, but more for him, it's not really more of a roll, him more of a pick and pop with DeMar, with Zach, with Zoe. Got Patrick Williams, who, man, I before all these stars came here, I was like, man, he's going to take a huge leap this year. And now, of course, he's going to take a little bit of a backseat to all these stars, but also playing with stars also makes you that much better of a player. So I think that, that'll help him a lot. He's the ultimate role player. DeMar DeRozan, I mean, come on, man. He's just a pure bucket getter. He knows how to get buckets. He's just, like people in that Lakers game yesterday, the commentators kept saying that Carmelo Anthony is a professional scorer. DeMar DeRozan is another one of those just professional scorers, just can score from anywhere on the court. And then you pair that with Alex Caruso coming off the bench, Derrick Jones Jr. coming off the bench. Man, that's just an insanely, insanely complete team. And I just like how they go out there, give it all they got, every defensive possession. Go out, and they have just so many offensive weapons, man. It's just fun to watch. So I just wanted to throw it out there, but I don't think that they will be able to make the championship. Maybe, they get some more time together, some years together, some little bit more role players on the bench. They could do something. But that starting lineup, that is to be reckoned with, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then just one last area. I'm not going to go through every team, but, you know, just dangerous playoff teams. I got the Suns. Like I said, I don't think that they're going to go back to the finals, but I do have them as dangerous. I got the Sixers, even though they got problems with Ben Simmons, I got them being pretty dangerous. I got the Mavs because Luka Doncic is Luka Doncic. I got the Nuggets because Jokic. I got the Warriors if they're not, you know, if they're not contenders. And then I got the Hawks. Is there anyone else that you think should be thrown into that dangerous playoff team, which is just a notch below contender?
Okay, so right now we're talking about just the play dangerous playoff teams?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. For the Western Conference, I definitely got the Memphis Grizzlies, honestly, because the Memphis Grizzlies are just a young team who just are out there just balling. I really want to say the Utah Jazz, but the Utah Jazz are more of a dangerous in the regular season team because Rudy Gobert is just unplayable. I think Portland Trailblazers, that's another one of those dangerous playoff teams. And the reason why I say that is because also like the Mavs is because that they're one of those teams that they're like, they're not a great team. You don't look at their roster like, wow, that's a great team. But if a lucky day, can't nobody stop them. Like, remember when the Memphis Grizzlies played the Warriors last year in that play-in game, we all knew the Warriors were a better team. We all knew the Warriors had better players, but it was just one of those nights. Anybody could be beat. And when you got players like Ja, right, on Grizzlies, anybody could be beat. When you got players like Luka, when you got players like KP, when you got my boy Jay Kidd over there coaching, you can do some things on one night, man. So I definitely would say the Mavs and the Grizzlies for the West, and then for the East, man. Indiana Pacers let me down every single year. Like every year they let me down, but if they can string it together, man, they could be definitely a dangerous playoff team because they actually have a good roster. Like every single year they have a good roster. They just never could string it together. Like I said, the Bulls, man. And then, hey, don't sleep on the Knicks. I know the Knicks got the fourth seed last year, but don't sleep on the Knicks, dog. I'm telling you, the Knicks are looking different this year. They're looking way better, man. I really, really like the addition of Kemba because now you got a starting caliber point guard in Kemba starting. And then in my opinion, D-Rose is still a starting caliber point guard. So then now you got D-Rose coming off the bench. Man, watch out for the Knicks over there.
Yeah, Knicks fans annoy the hell out of me. But yeah, the Knicks do look, you know, they look dangerous. You know, they definitely look like they could be, you know, a problem for any team in the playoffs. So yeah, I agree. The Blazers, I'm not sold on them. Something about them, you know, something's missing. You know, they just don't have that feeling that, you know, so many other teams have, you know, dangerous teams. But I will give a shout out to one team. The Charlotte Hornets, they look nice. You know, they're 3-0. LaMelo Ball looks great. Miles Bridges looks good. Gordon Hayward, hopefully he can stay, you know, healthy. But yeah, man, they look good. Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps everything up. John, you got anything else that you want to add?
No, man, just want to say thank you, man. Thank you for letting me come on here, talk some hoop with you. I love talking basketball, man. I'm happy NBA season is back, baby.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, man, John, thank you so much. And, guys, you know, please go check out Clutch Talk. They are my favorite podcast to work with. They're incredible. They're always so much fun to work with. John is always, from the moment we met, we've just hit it off, and he's been great with us. So thank you so much, John. John, do you want to just go ahead and plug anything? Obviously, Clutch Talk, but, yeah, go ahead and plug anything that you want.
Yeah, man. So you guys can check out our podcast, man. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're also on YouTube for the videos. And that's a Clutch Talk, Big C, Big T. And then if you want to check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, it's at Clutch Talk Pod. So just at Clutch Talk and then just add pod right there at the end and just get at us on there, man. You know, we got a lot of interactive polls, debates. We do everything on there. And then you could also send in any episode requests on there, man. So just get at us. And I love working with the Big Shot Pod, man. This is a great podcast. I had to double back on here, man. We've worked together a couple of times in the past, and honestly, for all the fans, for Clutch Talk and for Big Shot Pod, get used to it, man, because us and the Big Shot Pod, we're going to be working together often throughout the season.
Yeah, I agree. I've always said it on the podcast, and, you know, I've always said it to you every time, you know, I always enjoy working with you guys. It's always so much fun. We always get into good debates. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll be seeing a lot of each other during this season. But all right, John, so thank you so much for joining us. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll speak soon. And thanks for joining the Big Shot Pod. Thanks, John.
No problem, man.
All right, so that was our episode with John from Clutch Talk. He was kind enough to join us. Unfortunately, not everyone from Clutch Talk was able to join us, but John was. He's awesome. He's always fun to talk to. So guys, please give Clutch Talk a follow. They're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. They're even on YouTube. You know, they post their podcast episodes on YouTube so that you can actually have a visual. But they also post really cool stuff like interviews with basketball players, professional basketball players. So they have really cool content. So please give them a follow. You know, like I said, they're available on every platform. And again, I just want to give a special shout out to John from Clutch Talk. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you for being my friend when I needed one.
So just having a little bit of fun here on the podcast. But no, again, thank you so much, John from Clutch Talk. You're awesome. So yeah, guys, please give them a follow. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the episode. As always, I'm your host, Chaba Baja. Please give us a shout out on Twitter. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, hit us up on Twitter and we will address it on the next podcast. Our handle on Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. Again, any questions, comments, concerns, hit us up on the DMs, hit us a mention, whatever you got to do to get our attention, hit us up and we will address it on the next episode. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Once again, I want to give a special thank you to John from Clutch Talk. You are awesome. And everyone, I want you to keep your eyes peeled because we will be working a lot with Clutch Talk over this season. But yeah, so that was the first official episode of the season. And I am so excited to go on this journey of this season with you guys. It's going to be so much fun. Again, I will be posting episodes twice a week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But other than that, guys, I want to say thank you so much. Once again, our handle on Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. And once again, I am your host, Chaba Baja. Thank you so much, guys. And you guys have a great night. How do you know, man?